We are done with the Shoftim. We are done with the Shoftim. Meaning, Eli HaKohen, who we're about to mention, is going to be the last official Shoftim. After that comes Shmuel and Avi, who's the quasi in between, not exactly a Shoftim, not exactly a Melech. He does judge without a question. He was a judge, but he wasn't exactly one of the Shoftim. But even if you count Shmuel as one of the Shoftim, the reason why Shmuel and Avi gets his own sefer, he is in the song. I do agree with that. The reason why Shmuel and Avi get that's how you gotta end, because Eli rhymes with Shmuel and Avi. You get the song doesn't work without it. It just doesn't work. Yeah, no, but you have the Eli HaKohen. It doesn't, you know, it's the end with Eli HaKohen. Either way, regardless, Shmuel and Avi has his own sefer, not because of him. In fact, he only lives for about 14 to 15 prakim of Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel Beis, he doesn't appear once. He's dead. David HaMelech is the king. He did not write most of Shmuel and Avi. He wrote parts of Shmuel, and the rest was written by Gad HaChoza and Nathan HaNavi, the chief Nevi'im during the times of David HaMelech. Otherwise, Shmuel and Avi hadn't written anything at all. So why is it called Shmuel? Because it's the handiwork of Shmuel and Avi. Shmuel and Avi was not just the liaison between the Shoftim and the Malachim. He created the Malachim. He anointed Shmuel HaMelech, anointed David HaMelech, all through the Tfilos of Chana, as we're going to see, through his own mother. And we're going to see that he was the reason, the entire reason why anything happened in Klal Yisrael. That was the ability of Shmuel and Avi, and there's some amazing things that happened over here. Aside from that, Shmuel and Avi was not like anybody else. Arba'im Shav, we say, I'm trying to think right now, in Kabbalah Shabbos, that of course you can't get it when you need it, right? Who Shmuel b'kori Shemo. But Moshe v'Aaron b'cho'anav, who Shmuel b'kori Shemo, right? It says Chazal in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chafei, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel are equal. That tells you the level of Shmuel and Avi. Now granted, they couldn't have been equal in Nebuah. That's impossible. Nobody's equal to Moshe Rabbeinu when it comes to Nebuah. But in greatness, in how they treated their generation, in how they were leaders, in what type of a person that they were, Shmuel is equal to Moshe and Aaron. And consider this. Moshe Rabbeinu, we all know, lived to the age of 120. Nice ripe old age, right? Nice ripe old age. Aaron HaKohen lived to 123. Even better, that's an awesome age. 123 years old. Shmuel and Avi lived to 52. 52 years old when he died. 52. And yet still he was able to accomplish. He was able to do something. As we'll see, he started from the age of 2 and went on until he was 52 and died at that age.
Moshe started at 80. He's a leader. He wasn't a great person before that. But
I'm not going to argue that point. You are 100% right. He only was a leader of Bnei Yisrael for 40 years. But he didn't start being great when he was 80. He started being great he knew the name to be able to destroy an Egyptian when he was back in Mitzrayim, however old he was, 20, 40, whatever it was. So there's something about Moshe Rabbeinu even then. Yeah, he wouldn't drink the milk of a non-Jewish lady. He chose Kadosh Baruch Hu slapped his hand, he was driven by a malach to take the coal instead of the gold. There's something about Moshe Rabbeinu that was different from most other people. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't leading when he was 2, was he?
No, but he did paskin when he was 2. We're going to see. He's high Misa gorgeous. Oh yeah, I mean, amazing, right? We're wondrous about stuff like that.
Misa's too.
Oh, we're going to talk about that also when we get to, we're coming up to it soon, it's at the end of Perek Beis. But Yish Echabino Ramah Sain says Shmuel Aleph says there was a man from Ramah, okay, from Ramah, Soifim, Meharaphraim, one of the Nevi'im, one of the prophets from Harafraim. See, I told you he'd be here. Unbelievable. Grab from the back, Shmuel Aleph, okay? Meharaphraim, the mountains of Ephraim, Ushmo Elkanah ben Yerokam ben Elihu ben Tohu ben Sufat Rossi. His name was Elkanah, son of Yerokam, son of Elihu ben Tohu ben Sufat Rossi. Does everybody see how the sefer starts off? Vayihi with a vav. Why start off with a vav? Connecting to Shoftim.
Isn't Vayihi usually like a negative term?
It is as well. Vayihi is always denote sadness, and the reason why there's sadness is because of what's going to be over here. The grief that's involved is Chana's grief over her childlessness that he didn't have.
Because that's being connected to.
That's interesting. I don't know. When we get to it, I'm sure there's something. We'll have to get to it. Is it, you know, we're there. You can't ask me if it's only there. I'm not there yet. And the next thing is that there's a difference between the two Levim. Remember how we ended off Shoftim? We talked about the Levi who was involved with Pesel Micha. Here we have the Levi of Pelegesh Begiva. The Levi who had Pelegesh Begiva. We ended up with a Levi in Pesel Micha. We had a Levi in Pelegesh Begiva. Here's another Levi. This guy was good. Those guys were bad. This guy is really, really good.
sense.
Elkanah was good. Yeah, that's the way to be able to look at it. And there's no question, Elkanah was an unbelievable person and everything like that. Now, when we say that Ish Echad, that means that he was a righteous man. The only time that we use the word Echad when there's something outstanding, something special about such a person. Each one of his names denotes greatness, the reason why they're called by that name and everything like that. As well, it says the reason why it's Ramasayim Sofim, meaning on the two heights. Two heights sounds like there are two mountains over here. The reason why it's called that way in Ramasayim is because either he had two wives, each wife lived on a different mountain. So Chana lived on one mountain, Penina lived on another mountain. And there you travel from one to the other to be able to go from one to the other. That's one way of being able to look at it. I'm sorry? I would assume he probably went off, probably not every week, not every month, but maybe every week. I don't know. That it doesn't say. But he would switch off between them. And then number two, he was a Tzofa. He was a Tzofa. He was a Navi and a prophet. And he's going to be the one that's sent to Eli later on. We'll see what ends up happening. He comes from Korah. So he's got lineage. Not the best. But he comes from the Bnei Korach that were saved and did not go to Gehenna. That's where he comes from. And when we call him an Ephrati, that means he was living in the land of Ephraim. He was a Levi, but he lived in the land of Ephraim. The Loshtei Nashim, he had two wives in Pasuk Beis. Shem Achaz Chana, Shem Yishenis Penina. One was Chana, one was Penina. Vayila Penina, Yilavim L'Chana, Eni Yilavim. Penina had children. Chana had no children. The reason why she's mentioned without a Yud is because we're going to see that Penina did something wrong. Okay? Here's the deal. Chana was the original wife of Elkanah. When she saw that she couldn't give birth, she asked Elkanah to marry somebody else in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu. That way he did. He married Penina, but unfortunately it still didn't allow her to have children. Now here's the pshat. Chana was not like Rivka and Sarah and Rachel and all those other people. She could give birth, but for some reason was not able to. Meaning she had the ability. She had a womb. She was able to in normal situations, but for some reason it just didn't happen. In the Hebrew Miyam Loez, which is not brought down in this Miyam Loez, I don't know why. I would assume because of the Medrash. The Medrash tells us that Chana had a strange looking face. Almost monkeyish is what it looked like. And it was only healed when Eli davened for her. I don't know what that means. I'm sure it's more Kabbalistic than it is anything else. But Chana had a strange face in that way. Now it says, every year this man would go up from his city to bow down in the Shek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Shiloh, and Shiloh, Vesham Shnei Bnei Eli, and there were two sons of Eli there, Kofni Opinkos, Kohanim Lashem. They were the Kohanim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, you notice it says the word Me'iro from his city. The pshat is that the city was considered his. He was such a tzaddik and such a gaon that it was considered his city. He motivated other people. He wanted people to go, where are you going to say, Daniel?
Why it starts off talking about Elkanah, why does it start out saying where he lived and then his lineage?
Yeah.
So it's because it was like his city, like that was his
first. That is mamish, because he was the one who convinced everybody there. He was metaking everything. Now here's the pshat, guys. When Bnei Yisrael first lived in Eretz Yisrael, Sanhedrin was blamed. Sanhedrin was blamed for what? For not traveling from place to place to help people out to understand what the laws were supposed to be. Because they didn't do so, they were killed very soon after Yoshua died. They didn't live very long. Shmuel, the Elkanah was metaking that. He went from city to city convincing people to go to Yerushalayim, to go to the Sanhedrin, instead of Sanhedrin going out to them, so that they can learn the laws when they go to Yerushalayim. That's what he ended up doing, and that was Elkanah's greatness. What are you going to say?
Yeah, we talked about the concept of each city having their own Beis Din anyway, when we were talking about Pilagos
B'Giva. That's for sure, about Pilagos B'Giva. But even so, there's nothing like the Beis Din that's the official Sanhedrin, in which all laws come to, and they were the ones in charge of sending out. There's a Sanhedrin, and then there's Bati Dinin. The Bati Dinin were by every city and every whatever it was. The Sanhedrin was made special. That's the idea. Also, the reason why it's his city is we all know, right? When a tzaddik leaves a city, there's an impression that's made. You probably felt it the last time I left. I don't know if you know, if you realized what it was, but now you know. I don't even have to tell you. That's what ended up happening. Either way, regardless, that there's another thing behind it. Every year, you would do Aliyah L'Raglo. Is that the halacha? When do you do a Leah Lerago?
Three times a year.
Shlosh Regalim. So why would he go only once a year? So Chazal seemed to say that he went, aside from the three Aliyah Leregos that he would do during the Regalim, he went another time, a fourth time, to convince other people to go during the Shlosh Regalim. That's possible what it's supposed to be. So that's an idea of what
they,
it's supposed to be.
Yeah. They take the three times a year, and they didn't have cars and trains.
No,
like, I know, let's go get on our camel and go over a few days.
Amish. I mean, you only had to go if you were near Yerushalayim. There was no chiyuv to go anywhere else.
But they said that it's a fire people came from our cross.
They definitely came. They didn't want chai. So meaning, if you lived around Yerushalayim, you came three times a year. You didn't live near Yerushalayim. You only came once in a while. I don't remember exactly what it is. I don't remember what it is. But from Ephraim, remember, what do you mean?
How far away are we talking about?
Well, let's say the top of Eretz Yisrael. Let's say Haifa. Haifa is
far, what?
A week, 2 or 3 day walk. And then you're staying for a week, and then 2 or 3 day walk back. That's a lot.
The month and a half later.
So you're doing it 3 weeks.
We're not saying we're on a week vacation.
No. This is 2 weeks. Times three.
Well, no, so you're going there and back. There and back.
No. I'm saying, like, no, 2 or 3 days to travel there, and then a week to be there, and then 2 or 3 days back. So you're taking 2 weeks off. 6 weeks out of the year is a lot.
You can't make a living like that.
Yeah, you can.
You're going to take vacation.
Wait, ask him if he works. Ask him if he works.
Just do it every year.
Yeah, we're lucky like that. I hear what you're saying.
Isn't that shot of the days that happens in Israel? Like, think about it, the whole crowd, all the people, no question.
No question that it was. It's just, but we just know the Chiyuv was not there. But he lived in Ephraim. He lived near Yerushalayim. He wasn't that far off. That's why he was able to come three times. He had to convince all the people around him to come. That was the point. But he, Hayom, it was that day of the festival, whatever it was. Elkanah brought sacrifice. Vanessa with Penina, Israel, he gave to Penina, his wife, Elchovanan, to all of her children, of Nelsa, and all of her daughters, Manos, certain portions. It's possible this was Shavuos. Shavuos, the day, shows that an important day in which the Torah was given.
Not Rosh Hashanah?
No, it's supposed to be the day. And Rosh Hashanah, he probably wasn't there. He didn't have to go for Rosh Hashanah. Oh, I know what you're saying, Rosh Hashanah, because she was remembered on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, so that the reason why we say this is because she was remembered, her tefillahs were accepted already on Rosh Hashanah. This might have been Shavuos. It could be also that it was Shavuos when this happened, and then later on Rosh Hashanah, she was remembered to allow it to for the baby to go through. L'chani yitein mana achas apayim. Chana was given one portion, a double portion. Keshchana ahev Hashem segarachma. He loved Chana, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had closed her womb. V'kiasat sarasa gam kas. Her rival, right, would anger her very much. Bavor harima. In order to make her complain. Kisog Hashem b'yad rachma, that Hashem had closed her womb. Now, Penina meant this l'shem shamayim. The Gemara tells us that Penina and the Satan both do this l'shem shamayim. She didn't want to just stop anger her. She wanted her to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She felt that Chana just wasn't davening hard enough. So she angered her and said, oh, did you get extra clothes for your kids for this vacation?
This is so wrong.
And for that, she's punished. She went too far.
No.
She should have said, Chana daven harder. That's what she should have done.
Right, but that's like, but even that is kind of like, you know, she knows her pain better than Penina would know her pain, so shouldn't she? She would know how hard to dive in.
I definitely hear what you're saying. That's a good call. I don't know. She's definitely punished.
Look, we get Shimona Esther from Chana.
Right? We're going to see. Chana is unbelievable.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, so she's not like,
yeah.
Little, like.
No, it's unbelievable. No. The aggravation that Penina caused her to lose her children. In the end, she loses 8 out of her 10 children. So we're going to see, this is not just Stam, the Penina, whatever it is. Penina aggravated them.
This morning, a girl who sells the whole point of being married.
I think it was 2 boys, if I remember correctly. We'll see at the end. We have to get to it. The Chani asked Shana B'Shana. This happened every year. Media Los of the Beis Hashem, when they came up to the Beis Hamikdash. Well, it's not the Beis Hamikdash. I'm sorry. I should really say the Mishkan.
Yeah.
The Mishkan and Shiloh. Kain Tach Isena Vetivka Velos Ocham. She got her angry. And she would cry. Chana would cry. Right? And she wouldn't eat. Chana would eat. You know what's interesting? She didn't do it during the year. Why not? Because they lived on different hilltops. So Penina and Chana only saw each other maybe even that one time a year. Could be during the pilgrimages and the Shlosh Regalim. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe Elkanah went by himself or without his wives. He brought maybe his kids with him. I don't know. Right? But I'm sorry?
Family barber.
I don't think they had such things when he had double wives. I don't know. I have no idea what
a barber doesn't get a fuzzy dollar to buy by Hayom.
Yeah.
Atzeres,
he says Shavuos. It was from the Abba Benel. So that's what he says. So it could be that they only met at this place, and that's where Penina got them upset. So Ches. Hayom Elo Okana Isha, Chana. Okana, her husband, said, Chana, Lama Sivki, why do you cry? The Lama Lo Sofli, why don't you eat? The Lama Yor Levavich, why is your heart so sad? Hello, Anochi Tov Loch, my after Abanim. Listen, I'm better than you, than 10 children. You don't have a Chi of a Puravu. I have the Chi of a Puravu. I fulfilled my Chi of Tupanina. I don't need children through you. I love you as you are. I'm sorry?
That's
being sensitive. I don't, okay, so put it in whatever sensitive way you want. But regardless, he said it in a good way.
I treat you as well as, you know, 10 children will treat you.
Yes. Yeah, that's supposed to be the idea behind it. And that's that. He also told her, Chana. Why do you have to name her name? Chana stands for the three mitzvahs that every woman has that are special mitzvahs. Chana stands for Chala, Haprashas Chala, Ner Shabbos, Nida, I'm sorry, and Hadlakas Ner. And those three, Chana was perfect with. That she was able to keep all of those things, and she was perfect in them. And he said, Chana, you're a tzaddikas. You don't have to worry about stuff like this. Okay, but talk about
three laws.
No, not the only three. These are the three laws that are special for women that we say, Chala, Nida, and Hadlakas and Ner, give them extra life. Chala, Frosh's Chala from making.
Nida is really the only one that is really exclusive to women.
That's true. Yeah, guys can't take off Chala. You're just a girly guy. That's fine. But Tukum Chana Akare Akla B'Shilo. Chana got up after eating in Shilo, so she did eat, clearly. The Akare Shaso, and she did drink. Not wine, but she must have drunk something. The Eliyah Kohen Yoshev Al Kisei HaMezuzah Heichal Hashem. Eliyah Kohen was sitting by a throne, by the mezuzah, by the doorway of the Heichal of Hashem. It seems like he was just installed. That this Kisei was like an installation. He was now the Shofet. That he was made the Shofet right at that point. He was already the Kohen Gadol. Now not only was the Kohen Gadol, but he's also the Shofet. Now are you allowed to sit in the Heichal of the Mishkan? Now, I don't know. In the Beis HaMikdash, you can't sit down in the Azara. But it could be you were allowed to sit near Shiloh. I have absolutely no idea. That's something that you can actually
it's
ask.
It's also
not
really
for sure.
Old. I mean, if somebody can't stand up, you can't go into
the Azara. You cannot be in the Azara. There is no heter for anyone except for Malchus Beis David Golvad. That's the only heter for it. I do not believe. Again, remember, you can go into the Beis HaMikdash by the Ezra's Nashim. There's still other areas, but you can't go into the Azara. Can't say the other. What do you say?
The heter is just the way it is.
To sit?
For
Malchus Beis David? That's an interesting call. I believe it's a heter, not a chiyuv. I don't believe it's
like
a chiyuv.
I mean, a heter is it like, all right, fine, we're going to yoke into it that, okay, fine, we'll let you sit, or is it like,
don't remember.
Totally fine.
Don't remember. It's a Gemara.
Oh,
I don't remember all
that. It's fine to sit. It's not like,
I don't remember. I don't know where it comes from. Yeah, but I don't know the source. I'd like to see the source. I don't believe you can go in.
You're going to rely on a minority opinion for extenuating
circumstances. No, you can go in the area around it, but you can't go there.
That's not really what it means.
Impossible good. Did you mean heter is in like we're mottering it for you? I don't mean it like that.
Yeah.
I mean heter is in it's mutter. It's mutter.
I'm a heter too.
No. Impossible good. Behi Morat Nefesh. She was embittered when she went to the Mishkan. But Tisbawal Hashem Vachot Sivke. She davened to Hashem and she was crying profusely. Okay? Now we learn all of our, as you mentioned before, Levi, we learn all of our halachos of tefillah from Chana. Everything we learn about how to daven quietly, to put yourself together, to be able to start off with certain tefillah. Everything that we learn in tefillah comes from Chana to Gemara Brachos, all over the place about what we learn. It also says, very interesting, Tisbawal Al Hashem, not El Hashem. She davened on God, about God, complaining, so to speak. She had tainas, legitimate tainas. Latidur neder atom Hashem tzvakos. She made a neder, she said, Hashem, imra'o tira ba'ani amasecha, if you see the poorness of your maidservant, as a kartani, and you remember me, below tishkach zamasecha, you do not forget your maidservant. But asato la'amoscha zera anashim, you should give your maidservant a child that will be like men. When asatik v'ashem kol yimechayav, I will then offer him to God all the days of his life. Umora lo yala arosho. No razor will ever be upon his head. Apparently, she made him into a nazir. Not a nazir shimshon. That's not over here, but a nazir olam. Nazir olam means he still gets a haircut every 30 days. He's not allowed to drink wine his whole life, right? And he's not allowed to be metame whatsoever. But none of those knock out the nazirus. You're a nazir your whole life. I'm sorry?
He killed a god.
No, he did. He was another Shemshon.
Or no, he killed him.
No, he wasn't another Shemshon.
Nazir
Olam.
He was dead.
The Gemara is Nazir Olam. It's at the end of Rosh Hashanah, I believe. Where it says that he... Oh, no, at the end of Nazir, of course. At the end of Nazir, it says it's the last mission of Nazir. Mentions that Shmuel was, and I believe it says Nazir Olam.
Wait, Nazir Olam out of the
Nazir can't kill people.
I'm almost positive. No, maybe I'm forgetting. Maybe I'm forgetting. I'm almost. We'll get to it when he gets around there. Nazir normally can't be around a dead person.
It's like a situation.
Shimshon was around a whole bunch of dead people.
That was the question. We brought that up before by Nazir. Nazir Shimshon, there's machlokas whether you could be metano or mason, and they said maybe that's the reason why he used the jawbone of the donkey so he wouldn't touch the dead people.
No, I guess you're talking first.
By Shmuel, however, I believe he used a sword, so that wouldn't help. It was metal.
It's still the same base. It's the same house, same roof.
They were outside. The whole thing was outside. I don't
know. Why are you
touching
it? In theory, but it's because there might be areas around there where the mace moves around a little bit. You know, mace don't stay underneath their cover. They move around with different earth.
I think when, like, Sarah's shoes, I mean, some shoes.
No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. You'd have to, because it's too much bokasva ola. So that's not going to work for something.
Why did she say that a razor won't touch his head?
Nazir ola. Still a type of nazirus, just not the same thing as Nazir Shimshon. It's similar to it, just not the same
as any other car.
Shimshon wasn't around by
now. No, it's not the exact same. Mora is learned from Shimshon, that it says Mora again by Shimshon over there as well. But it's not, it's the Lushan, but it's not the exact Lushan.
Doesn't Nazir have any
a regular Nazir.
Yeah.
Not an Nazir Olam and not an Nazir Shimshon.
Yeah, so
this is a Kevachat. Yes, Chat is an Olam.
So you know, like, you're doing something a little bit off.
Yeah.
Why is he saying, like, I'm going to make my kids do something?
Because it's still holy, and especially if the person keeps it the whole time. The chatos is given because you might be chotal and nefesh by making yourself. He didn't make himself. Chana made him into it. So there's a difference. You might be chote al nefesh by doing something. You might have sinned to yourself. You might have had a little bit of gaiva, or you wanted to do it for the wrong reasons. So that's why you should be there. Okay. Either way, guys, Chana's prayer is over here. Chana had a lot of time. So Chana was, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have all these people. You can't give me one child? Chana said, you gave me breasts in order to feed a child. What do I have them for if not to feed a child? Chana said, you have billions and billions of stars. Clearly there's an ability for you to do something or have something that seems extraneous. All these were one after the other, and she asked for a child. Somebody who's going to be tremendous zera anashim, but also is going to be in between people. Somebody who wouldn't be noticeable. Not too tall, not too short. Not too big, not too thin. I want somebody who's normal in every way, so that not in a way is like, I want the perfect child. That's not what she was asking. She's asking for a person who wouldn't stick out, average, that we can work on and we can become a better person. That's the idea of kinded, who would not be afraid of anyone, and that's for himself. Now, it is true, by the way, that a woman cannot make a child into a nazir. That's a halacha. So what was she doing over here? Shmuel had to accept it upon himself later on, and he did. He did accept it upon himself, but she is not allowed to do such a thing. Okay? She mentioned her name and she said, your handmaid, you know, Amasecha, three times to refer to the three mitzvos, Chala, Nida, and Adlakas in there. Okay, there we go. Vayakir Basali spelled with Hashem as she kept davening in front of Hashem to Eli Shomer Espia. Eli was watching her mouth, saying, what's going on over here? Couldn't understand it. Plus a good base. Now, Shomer means to watch or wait. He waited to see what was going on. He looked at her. He's never seen a person daven this well without screaming. Typically, the way to daven back then was when you were crying out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you cried out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You did something called tz'aka or ze'aka, which were types of tefillahs that you called out loud. He assumed that the reason she was so upset, she was eventually going to call out loud, but she didn't. She was silent. And for that, he said, wait a second. Silent prayer is usually done when you just want to say, please, thank you, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, this and that and the other, for things that you don't want other people to hear. You look intense. Why are you so quiet? He could not understand. He thought that she was completely drunk.
Did she consider it?
I'm sorry?
Did she consider it?
Yes, 100%. Chana, 100%. And Chana was davening in some type of section or whatever, but because Eli was sitting down...
Did she consider it for this?
Because of the davening? I don't think so. Not that I know of. Not because of this. The Chana Yimidaberes Aliva. Chana was speaking to her heart, praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, which means, halakhically, you're not allowed to daven. daven without moving your lips. You cannot daven by just thinking the words. That does not work. Your lips must move. Kola lo yishamea. Her voice was not heard by Yashra Elu Shikora. Eli thought she was a shikr. Says the Gra, he had the koshena with the Urim Mitzvah. And he looked at it and he thought to himself, what is going on with this woman? And the Urim Mitzvah answered the question for him. And the following letters popped up. Chaf, Shin, Resh, and Hey. Chaf, Shin, Resh, and Hey. Now we used the Urim. There were two parts of the Urim Mitzvah. There was the Urim that allowed the letters to light up and the Tumim that put the letters together. The Urim allowed the letters to light up and he saw the words Chaf, Shin, Resh, Hey and he thought, Shikora. She's drunk. So he didn't use the Tumim to be able to put the letters together. Had he used the Tumim, what would have come out? Kishera. Or Kisara. I didn't even think of that. But Kishera is supposed to be the line that she's kosher. She's kosher. But she didn't. He didn't use that. That was part of the problem. Eli was so convinced that he knew what was going on, he messed up another room. How could you make yourself drunk for so long? Don't daven this way. You're not allowed to daven this way. Halachically, you're not allowed to daven when drunk. What is considered drunk? At the point where you should not go up in front of a person of importance, of a kush of a person. You wouldn't go up to somebody. Some people would say, like, I always can go up. Whatever you want to call that. A lot of problems come up on Purim. You got to be careful. Marav Motzi Purim is a big problem. Mincha sometimes. But Tan Chana, Pasuk Tes Vav, Tan Chana Vetomer Lo Aduni, know my master. Some say she's saying, you are not my master. You just messed up. Ishak Shas Ruach Anochi, I am embittered of spirit. V'yayim v'shekalosh, I did not drink any wine or intoxicating drink, but Eshbok is not in Hashem. I am just pouring out my heart in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I didn't feel the need to do Tz'aka or Z'aka because I felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could hear me anyway, and we also paskin that way. That a silent Shemona Esrei is heard just as well as a loud Shemona Esrei. A person should not think that I have to daven loud in order for Hashem to hear me. That's not what you have to do. It's what? That's what they say. Based on Chan. Yeah. Do not allow your Alma to be looked at as a lawless person. It's because I wanted to talk and because of my anger that I've been praying so long up until this point. Go in peace. And that's the halacha, by the way. You're kosher b'chsherim. You suspect somebody of doing something wrong when they're kosher. You got to give them a bracha. Go in peace. May God give your request whatever you have asked from him. So it should be. Alien may have had a nevuah at this point telling her what was going to be. Your shikha find favor in your eyes. She went on her way. And she ate. She no longer had that face. Remember the medrash that I told you before? She no longer had the face. This is the point where everything changed. The bracha of Eli allowed her to be something normal again. They got up early in the morning. They bowed down in front of Hashem. They went back to their homes. They came to their houses. Elkanah knew Chana, his wife, and Hashem remembered her. Seemingly, she was conceived on Rosh Hashanah. That's what ended up happening. By Yilut Kupas Yavin, as 2 seasons and 2 days passed, 6 months and 2 days, Matar Chana Vatele Ben. So Chana gave birth, became pregnant. She gave birth to a child. But Tzibur Shmo Shmuel came. Hashem Shaltiv. I asked of him from God. Now, does anybody want to figure out why the name is Shmuel? Shouldn't it be Shaul? May Hashem Shaltiv. Shaul.
But God heard him.
Shaul. So Shema Shmuel is Shmoel or Shemael that God heard, I guess. This is Shaul. I asked of him from God. So it is weird. It's a very, very strange name. But we do see this. Noach is called Noach, even though his name was Tuyinachameinu. Should be Menachem. There are times where we call it this way, where we take a word similar, even though it's not exactly that. I'm sorry?
It would have gotten really confusing
if it was Shaul. Yeah, that for sure would have been true. By the way, they were 19 years married before they gave birth over here. That's what ended up happening over here. By the way, there was a pascal that came out on that day where Shmuel was born and said, anybody who names their kid Shmuel on this day, that child will be the leader of Klal Yisrael. So every child was named Shmuel at that point, but the only child who ended up becoming the leader was Shmuel himself. I'm sorry?
So what's the deal with pascal?
I shouldn't say any child. The child that is born that is named Shmuel today. So it could have been anybody. The man Elkanah went with his whole house to Shachtu Hashem, his Devach of the Yom, and whatever korban was in those days, and his nether, whatever the vow was, he had apparently vowed that if he had a child, he would bring a korban. Olasa, but Hannah would not go up. So she said to her husband, I need to go mail now and wait for the child to be weaned. Rabbi Yossi, I will bring him up in Eros and Hashem, we will see the face of Hashem, Yashem Hashem, and Olam, and he will sit there forever. Olam means for 50 years. For an Olam of Yovel. He would be there for 50 years, and she was right. 2 years to wean, 50 years, he died at the age of 52. Yet again, Hannah was a whatever. She saw that he was very delicate, and that's the reason why she didn't want to go up. She was afraid. By Yomila Okana Isha, Okana, her husband, said to her, Asiyato Benai, do whatever is good in your eyes. Shviyad Gamlecho, so sit until you wean him. Achyokim Hashem Tzavaro, may God establish the word. Vatishva Isha Vatanek has been Ad Gamlo, so the woman sat and she nursed her child until he grew up and everything like that. Okay. Hataleuima, right? She brought him up with her. Kasher Gamal to Gimalatu when she finished. But Karim Shlosha with three cows, that's a lot, by the way, back then. Three cows is a tremendous amount of money. Eifa Achas, with an Eifa flower, that's a huge amount of Eifa. Remember, we give in a series of Eifa for every cow. Okay, so that's a lot. Kemach, of fine of flour. Menevel Yain, a flask of wine, but Yobi Hashem Shiva, and she brought him over to Shiva, and Nar Noar. The child was already old enough. The child was already very, very, very smart. He was like he was an older kid. And we're going to see, he was able to pass him, he was a brilliant child.
It's interesting, because by Yosef, when it says the Nar,
the opposite. Because he was older, then saying Nar is an insult. When you have a little baby and you call him a Nar, it's a compliment. That's the idea. By Yishchatu, it's a par, by Yavi was an Nar Aleli. They checked the par. I do not know why it only says one cow. That I have no idea. And they brought the child to Eli. Now, why did they bring the child to Eli? Chazal tell us that he went and he passed him. Shmuel was standing there and he saw that they were all waiting for a Kohen to shech their korbanos. All the people were waiting. So Shmuel said to them, why are you guys waiting? So he said, right, he said that, listen, you know, the reason why we're waiting over here is because, simply put, we were waiting for a Kohen to shech the korban. He said, wait, you don't need a Kohen to shech it. You need, anybody can shech. Even a Zor can shech. They went over to Eli and Eli's like, he's right, bring me the child. They brought him the child and he said, where do you learn that from? He told him the limud, and he said, that is 100% correct, but if you pass in halacha in front of somebody who is greater than you, mora halacha b'nei rabba, you're chayiv misa, and therefore he cursed him that he would die. Chana heard about it, immediately went to Eli, and said, what the heck? And that's this pasuk. That's what it means, that view with the Nar Eli, they brought the child to Eli to be able to have this.
2 years old.
Unbelievable.
Not mashma that. He's just like...
Well, this does over here. Batomer biaduni, please my master, this is what the Gemara says, by your life, my master. He says, who are you? She said, I am the woman who stood by you, meaning you davened for this child. Eli said, it's okay, I'll give you another child. I'll daven for you to have another child. She said, no, I want this child. So to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'd rather have this child more than anything else. Yeah. The Mora Halacha B'nei Rabba? That is Halacha. Oh, about Zora Shok?
Yeah.
It was a Chiddush of Shmuel?
Beforehand,
Kohanim Shechtu. Kohanim Shechtu. The reason why it was a Chiddush, I don't remember exactly why, is because it says the word HaKohen only after the HaKrava, or the Kabbalah. I don't remember exactly where. But that's the reason why it was different. I'd have to figure out why, but it was a Chiddush. I know it's hard. It's a Gemara, so we're going
to
take it.
But like she wanted Eli's attention. Eli's a busy Kohen Gadol.
If you could believe that the Gra knew Tanakh at the age of 3, believe that Shmuel was Paskin at
the age of 2. Okay, fine. Let's say you knew the Halacha. I'm saying the whole story of after that.
Of Mora Halacha B'nei Rabba.
And they wanted to kill him. Come on.
I don't know if you can kill him. Mora Halacha B'nei Rabba was Chaim Yisabidei Shamayim.
But he's still 2.
So he cursed him.
Yisabidei
Shamayim applies even until 20. Yisabidei Shamayim.
Right.
Hari applies after 20. Yisabidei Shamayim can still happen before him. It's a Shari Tshuva. I think it's on page Kuf Tes in the old Shari Tshuvas. What? Yeah. Mora Yisabidei Shamayim is different. Not in the sense that you can be, I mean, I guess so, but whatever. But maybe that's part of the point of what Nar meant. But he's a Nar and therefore he's
responsible. Let God take care of that.
Agreed. Either way, Elanar is a Yisraelti. I got him for this child. God gave me my request. That's happened. I have lent him to God all these Israel. He has lent over to Hashem. He said to Eli, he's going to be your servant. He's going to serve you for the rest of his life. And they bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Question who exactly bowed, but Eli davened for Shmuel to live. You know, by the way, some say that this whole tefillah was that Shaul should live. says, Asher Hayahu Shaul Hashem, that Shaul should daven for Hashem. That Hannah had within her prayer another prayer for the king that would be made through Shmuel and Avi himself. Okay, let's go. That's Stala Hannah Matoma. Hannah davened, and she said, Alat Levi Hashem, this is the fourth song of Tanakh. First song is Os Yashir. Second song is, fifth song, I'm sorry. Second song is Anu Be'er Anu Ra, the song of the Be'er. Third song is Hazinu. Fourth song is Shiras Devora. And fifth song is this, Shiras Chana. I believe that's it. Anyway, it says, Alat Levi Hashem, my heart exults in God. Ramakani Hashem, may my keren, my horn of oil, be lifted up by God. And that's a reference to Shmuel anointing kings. Rocha Pia Oivai, may my mouth be wide upon my enemies. Kisamasu Bishua Secha, right? Because I am happy about your salvation. That whenever anybody tells me God did good for me, I should say, no, God did good for me. Alat is a gematria of 190. That you were equal to me for Avram and Sarah. Avram gave birth at the age of 100. Sarah gave birth at the age of 90. So you're equal to Avram and Sarah for that. Also, by the way, the joy was only hers. I was joyous on the day that Shmuel was born, but my husband was not. Why not? On the day that Shmuel was born, two of Penina's children died. So Penina and Elkanah both were in mourning on the day that Shmuel was born. So I was the only one that was happy over here, and that's the idea behind it. There is no one holy like Hashem because there is no one like you. There is no painter like God. The Gemara says that there is no such sculptor who can put in an neshama and ruach inside the body like a Kodesh Baruch Hu already, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu can. Al tarbut gavu gavoa gavoa. Speak no more proudly. Yetzi asak mipicha.
Painter?
What? Yeah. Or sculptor, I think that should be. Meaning he makes our bodies and puts the soul inside. Yeah, that would be it. Yetzi asak mipicha. Let not harshness come from your mouth. Ki el deos Hashem, because God is a God of deos. And nothing bad can come from him. El and Hashem surround Dea. It tells you that having knowledge is not something to take it, not something to treat lightly. If you have das, use it well, because very few people do, and it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Das is the ability to know what you're saying and to say it with feeling. To say it with feeling. That is Dea. That's what it is. Is there a low? Do you guys see that low in that passage? Low is with a vav or an aleph or something like that. Do you guys see what it says?
Is it low?
Yeah. Some say that below Niskinu Alilus, everything is accounted by God, and you can also say nothing bad is from God. That's why you say with an aleph and a vav in that word below at the end of the pasuk. Pasuk Dalit, Kesh Gibor Chatzim, the bows of the mighty are broken. Nechshalim Ozruchayil, the stumbling were given might. Yonas and Rizio says it's a reference to the Maccabees and the Greeks, that she saw through some type of nevuah what was going to be with the Greeks. Sivayim Balechem Nisgaru, those who are filled with bread, they have become drunk. Ure'evim Kadelu, all those hungry will stop being hungry. At Akara Yolda, because an Akara gave birth, Shiva, to seven children. But Rabbis Bunin, one who had many children, Umlala, she lost all of them. Chana lost all of her children. Every time, Penina lost all of her children. Every time Chana gave birth to one, Penina lost two children. So why were there seven? There should have been five. Chana actually had five children. Okay? When the five children were born, every time Penina lost two. Two by the first, two by the second, two by the third, two by the fourth. Which meant Penina only had two children left. Penina saw the connection. She ran to Chana and begged her for her forgiveness. Chana davened to Hashem, and the last two children of Penina were able to live. Which meant that they were attributed to Chana, even though they were really Penina's kids. And thus it says, if she had seven children, not just five. So that's what it was supposed to be over here. Unbelievable, right? Chana, on the other hand,
kids have to die for Penina.
But why did they have to die over anything else? I don't have an answer.
Yeah. You look at death as a negative thing, not necessarily a negative thing.
Eight children dying.
Oh yeah, well,
oh, that's a good call. I understand. I understand what he's trying to say. It's confusing, but children for themselves, maybe that was, they did what they were supposed to do in this world. So on their side, maybe that's not a curse. From anybody else's side, maybe it's different. From the mother's side, it's a tremendous punishment for them. We can't. Yeah, that's not our answer. Maybe Elkanah also deserves something for not arguing with Penina. Maybe Elkanah heard something and didn't argue.
this is the only instance in Tanakh where
children die based on their parents.
Why should a Kana be punished? He should have.
I would assume so. Yeah, he should have done something about it. I would assume so. There's a lot to this. All right, here we go. Hashem made me some Achaya. Hashem kills and brings back the life. Morish Oviol brings down to the grave and brings back up. Tchias Amesim. This is a tefillah for Korach. All for Korach. Bring him. You brought him down to Gehenna. Bring him back up. Her great, 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 whatever it is. Hashem Morish Umasher. Hashem makes poor, makes rich. Mashbo off Maromim. Makes low and lifts them up. Some say it's a reference to allowing the Jews to live a better life now after the Shoftim. Making me offer dull. He brings up from the dust the poor. Mashbo Sum Avion. From the garbage heap, he brings up the poor, similar to David Melech and Howell. Lahoshivim Nidivim, right, to sit together with the great people. The Chisei Kavani Achilim, he gives them a great throne. Ki Hashem Mekutzei Eretz, all the parts of the world are God. Ve'ashbalan Tevel, and he puts the world upon them. Okay, here we go. Ragli Chassidim Yishmor, he watches the feet of the Chassidim, of his Chassidim, Rishayim Bakosha Hidamu, but the Rishayim, they walk in darkness. Ki Lo Bekoachi Baris, they cannot go by strength. You cannot assume that it's your own strength that allows you to go. There's other things going on. Pasuk Yud. I'm sorry? With the rest of what she's trying to say, that she's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings down the low and makes up and Hashem kills and whatever it is. The people that go down low are the people that feel that it's their own, that they have the power on their own. That's the idea. Hashem Yechatu Mariva, God will destroy his adversaries. Allah Bashamayim, they will go up upon the heavens. Yarim Hashem, Hashem will thunder upon them from the heavens. Yodin Aseret, he will judge the edges of the world. Yitin Ozam Alko, and give strength to his king, David HaMelech. The Yarim Kerem Mishicho, and exalt the horn of his anointed, and this is a reference obviously to David. So that's the end of the song. Okana went to Ramah al Beso, to his house. The Nara started to serve Eli HaKohen. He literally served Eli and did everything. Now, he was 2 years old. He could not serve in the base of Mikdash, even though he was a Levi, until he was 30 years old. He had to be 30 to 50 serving the base of Mikdash. Even at 25 is when they start. But he served Eli. He helped Eli. This 2 year old surrounded Eli the whole time. This is what it means to be like a Rebbe. He learned everything from Eli. He hung out with Eli all the time. Well, Bnei Eli, but the sons of Eli in Pasuk Yud Beis were lawless people. Lo Yad Vashem, they did not know Hashem. Some say that they were involved in idolatry. They did not believe that there was really a God. Some say that instead, no, they were over on adultery. And we'll see what ends up happening later on. Others say that we're messing up. And they weren't so bad. But on their level, they should have been a lot greater. That's that, okay? So over here, it's like this. We're comparing. Shmuel kept going up and up and up and up. Eli's sons kept going down and down and down and down. They had the same teacher, the same mentor. Yet sometimes it depends on the student. The student that's good will keep going up from the same Rebbe, and the other students will go down and down. Here was the Mishmar of the Kohanim during the times of the people. Every man would bring their korban, and the young men of the Kohen, even the Kohen himself would send a young lad, when the meat was cooking. He had a fork with three prongs in his hands. Okay, the hikab akior, he would hit whatever was in the vessels, obadud or in the cauldron, obakalakas or the pot, obaparur in the pan. Whatever picked up from the fork, yikaf akoin bo, kacha yasu l'chol Yisrael b'yim b'sham b'shilo. That's what the coin would take. That's what they did every time anybody came to Shilo. Now, normally he gave to the coin. What would he give to the coin? The chest and the leg. That was given over to the coin. But they would take whatever they wanted. They took this fork and started poking things. And, oh, that's mine. Oh, that's mine. That's mine. And each time they would do it. And that's the problem behind it. Now, there were three real sins that they were over here. Number one, they were taking things that were not theirs. 100% gizela. Number two, they were eating before the proper time of eating, before the blood was ever sprinkled. That's number two. Number three, they weren't going themselves. They were having other people do it who weren't necessarily Kohanim, who were taking everything. The Kohanim should not take, they should be given it. And that was the problem. That was improper for them to do. Even before they burned the fat, the nar of the coin would come and he'd say to the guy who was sacrificing, give some meat to roast for the coin. He's not going to take the cooked meat. He wants the raw meat. He wants the good stuff, the stuff that's full of blood. He wants the really good tasting meat to give him the good parts, not the bad parts. And that's what they would demand from the sacrifices. Yeah. And we're going to going to see Eli is 1,000% punished for this. We're going to see. But Yom Elav Ish, Kateri Akhtiron Kayom, if the man would say to him, listen, aren't we supposed to first burn the things on the Mizbeach? I mean, if the guy would say that to him, Achelet, you know, the fats first, then Kachel Kasher Tav and Ashachem, and you can take whatever you want, V'amar Lo, then the child would say to him, Ki Ata Titein, or Lo, Ki Ata Titein, no, you will surely, you give right now, V'amlola Kasher B'chazka, and if not, I will take it by force. Okay, Abaye said, I used to grab, because Abaye was a Kohen, he used to grab stuff, portions of meat. He didn't live during the times of the Mikdash. He used to grab pieces of meat. The what we give to the Kohen, right, is the part of the stomach, right, part of the chest or whatever it is, and the cheek, and the what's it called, right leg, the front right leg or something like that. So he used to say, like, he used to grab it from different people because I knew it was mine. Then I understood from this teaching that you're not supposed to do such a thing. You should be given it rather than take it from other people. So even Abaye wasn't so sure. Abaye's teaching us something interesting. Could be the Bnei Eli didn't know the halacha. Could be they didn't know that. They thought that they could just take it. But the sin of these children was very, very great. As Pnei Hashem, in front of the eyes of Hashem, because now people hated bringing korbanos to the base of Mikdash. They felt, they're like, we don't want to be around Eli. This is just, we don't want to be around this guy. This guy's just such a, we don't want to be anywhere near there. Shmuel Mishar says Pnei Hashem, Nar Chagug Eko Bad. But Shmuel, on the other hand, was a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everybody loved him. He wore an ephod bud, a little ephod. Some say it wasn't rich clothing. An ephod is like the ephod the Kohanim Gedolim wore, but very special. What it means is the following. It was a linen, like apron type of thing, that had magical properties. That similar to the choshen, he was able to tell the future from being able to use this ephod, and it was a way of attaining Ruach HaKodesh. We don't exactly know how this works, but even as a youth, Shmuel was able to have divine inspiration through these types of ephod. Not like the Kohen Gadol, something similar though, and it's just a contrast.
Yeah, it's too much. He was around Eli all day, he's wearing this magic apron.
Magic apron.
It's too much.
Yeah, what do you mean it's too much?
I mean, it's too close to being real kahuna.
Real Oh, you're saying like he's an actual Kohen. That's what you mean by that.
I'm thinking like, why didn't I go out and play? He's 3 years old.
Yeah, well, you might be a little bit older. This might be 8, 9, 10. No, David's just like, let him be a lady already, all right? Let him be a lady. The fact is, you're right. I mean, he couldn't wear anything else. He certainly couldn't wear anything that looked like the ephod of the Kohen Gadol. That would be Usher Gummer. It must have been something special. It just meant he was special. Again, it's all for the contrast with Bnei Eli. Omeo Katan Tasluimo, his mother made him a small cloak. By the way, Omeo was also a clothing of the Kohen Gadol. We're going to see. Not Nebuah, Ruach HaKodesh. There is a difference. But we do see elsewhere that the Ephod is a reference to types of Ruach HaKodesh, or seeing things. For example, by Gidon, they made it into an Ephod, which we said was magical. Also by Micha, they made an Ephod that was supposed to be magical. These types of ideas. He, however, had something that was Kadosh, not something that was Tame like they did. Either way, his mother made him a small cloak. Every year she would renew the cloak. Ba'alo says, Isha, when she would go up with her husband, when she brought the korbanos of that time. Eli would bless Elkanah's wife every year. Give you more children from such a woman. Because of this loan that he gave to Hashem, that she gave to Hashem, they would go back to their place, and they did. They had their children. Hashem remembered Chana, and she gave birth to 3 sons, 2 daughters, Yigdal and Ashmol and Hashem, and Shmuel grew up with Hashem. Okay, he was one of the children, but we see over here, how many children did she have? 5. How many children did we say she had before? 7. You see the contrast, and now we understand that the two were really Peninas. But Eli Zakimot, Eli was very old. At this point, we don't know how old he was. He was 58 at the time of his appointment. He was probably mid-70s at this time. V'shamez kol asher yasam banav l'chol Yisrael, he heard what his children were doing to Bnei Yisrael, and that they were sleeping with women that were bringing their korbanos outside the Olmoi. Now, hold on a second, guys. Up until now, they've been stealing meat. Now, granted, that's bad. But if they were sleeping with women, don't you think that would be your number one reason why the sons of Eli were bad? I mean, that's crazy. Who were these women that were bringing korbanos? They were women that had just given birth. They were married women. this would be the worst sin in the world if they were sleeping with them outside. How in the world could you designate over here? So therefore, Chazal states in Shabbos Menahem Abayis, Chas v'shalom, that's not what it means. Not what it means. Kol Rabbanei Lechatu Einu Elatoa, if you say that they sinned about this, that's not true. They were not immorally. They delayed the korbanos. And they kept the woman there longer than they needed to, which meant that the woman could not go home and be together with their husbands. Since they couldn't be together with their husbands, it's as if they were sleeping with them instead of allowing them longer. It wasn't. They were just lazy. And they didn't keep the korbanos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it as that.
Not even a comparison between them, but if they were stealing, I mean, why is it such a chas v'shalom to say that they were also doing
it? Eshetish is a huge chump.
No, I know.
And the stealing, you could start thinking to yourself, listen, the reason why I'm stealing is because I'm getting this anyway, and they're supposed to give it
to
someone.
They were taking a little bit extra.
The Nar did it. It wasn't me. You can come up with excuses. This took sleeping with people outside the home.
That's the type of stealing.
Eshetish is huge. I don't think that you can compare this. Understood.
I'm not saying they're comparing this,
but then, again,
why do we have to justify?
I don't understand the jump at all. I don't see why it's a big jump.
Okay, let me say it from the simple. I started off with this. Why put this as your afterthought? This is the afterthought.
So much like this.
B'nai Eli were terrible, terrible, terrible. And as an afterthought, and by the way, this sucks at the woman.
It shows you that it starts at
the woman. Well, no, isn't this the beginning of Eli's...
It's very, very strange to put it that way. It is Eli's punishment.
I think it's... So that's how... That's the segue.
The segue of what?
Of why Eli ends up the way he is, because of the way his children are acting.
There's no question, but just stealing would have been that.
No, that story was interrupted by...
Hold on. There's no question. Hold on. Guys, both of you, Benjamin and Levi, Ashes Ish is not comparable. There is no comparison to somebody stealing.
No, I'm not saying it's a comparison.
Versus Ashes Ish.
I agree. I'm just saying that why... If they were doing one thing that's bad, why do we have to... The Gemara doesn't say, like, let's protect them there. Why does it protect them for this? I mean, we're already saying that they're not the biggest tzaddikim.
I gave that answer because of the wording of the pasuk.
Yeah,
it would have said it.
The pasuk also before doesn't say straight out.
The gravity of the situation.
It's just murder someone.
Yeah.
All I'm saying though is that obviously if they're already stealing and going against this, they're stowing off of the yoke of the Shabbos. Therefore, why is this just making okay, if they're already stowing off the Torah, why wouldn't they sleep with them?
Because they're throwing off the yoke with a hatcher. They think that this is mutter. You can't moderate it. You can't moderate that out.
I don't agree with what you're saying right now.
I don't agree with it at all.
We also have things in the sense that they're already...
It's not a fine line. No, it's different. There's a history.
They were running next to all of them, but each is different.
This is an extreme, guys. I think we're going to win a big extreme over here. I wouldn't go this way. Listen, I do.
All together. Once you're doing it, once you're already...
I understand. I can 100% argue with that. I think it's a clear logical argument. However, I will tell you, there is a machlokas. There is an opinion that says that they definitely were over on Eishes Ish. It was Rav Rabbi Yochanan. It's in the Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yochanan says they were over on Eishes Ish mamash. He does say it. Okay. There is an opinion that says only Chofni was over on it. Pinchas was not. Chofni was over on Eishes Ish. Pinchas was not. Pinchas knew about it. But I'm telling you right now, it's very hard to understand. That's by Yom Elohim. He said to them.
You see, this way though, by the way, it makes sense that they didn't believe God.
Well, yeah, but that's still a stretch.
No,
right. If you said it, you could have seen it. They're doing a bazaar.
Yeah.
They took up the yoga shop. They took up the bazaar, which means they're taking everything.
Okay, I definitely hear it. I hear it. I'm just saying the jump from Geneva to Eishes Ish is not a good jump.
I'm saying
that. I don't think it's a jump. But now there are other issues that can fit in together. I agree. It's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. I'm not going to argue with Rabbi Yochanan. It seems more likely in the Bavli Paskins that they didn't do it. So to say that they did it is hard to say. Either way, but let's go on. And he said, by Yom Elohim, Lamatasim Gedvar Me'ela, how could you do these things? I'm hearing about all these terrible things from all these people. What are you doing? Albanai, don't, my children. It's not good, these words that I'm seeing from the people that are passed by Hashem. I can't understand how these people are saying it. Now, again, that's the smallest repeat I've ever heard before in my life. If Chas V'Shalom, the Kohen Gadol's children over on Yishtish, the first thing I do is remove them from their positions and get them the heck away from people around there. It's the first thing I would do.
Maybe they were Almanas or Rushas or whatever, and those were the women.
If they're taking advantage of women when they're bringing their korbanos, the first thing I'm going to do is remove them from their positions.
Okay, but it's not, maybe it's an Yishtish.
I agree
with that as well. That's exactly what the problem.
Rashon doesn't work either way. It doesn't matter.
Forget that. Yeah.
Yeah. God took out Nadav and Avihu right away.
Nadav and Avihu, exactly. Because they weren't on the level of Nadav and Avihu. That's the answer. Nadav and Avihu were not on the same level. The sons of Eli were not on the level of Nadav and Avihu. Although I will tell you, there are definitely...
Nadav and Avihu, they were something.
Chofni and Pinchas may have been also. According to this Gemara that says that Bnei Eli lo chatu, Gemara, Shabbos Nanhei, they were tzaddikim. They were tzaddikim. They never sinned. They didn't do anything. So all these psukim on the level that they were on, it's considered a faith. That's it. But they didn't sin. Here, keep going, guys. It says, Im yechte ish li shopil lo alokim. If a man sins against another, so the judge has to judge him. But if you sin to God, me is follow who's going to daven for him. But they did not listen to the call. Possibly they were already beyond it. Hashem wanted to destroy them, means they were beyond the level of understanding. They were in the point where they couldn't stop. They wanted to stop, maybe, but they couldn't. They just couldn't stop whatever it was that they were doing. So here's what happened. Now Shmuel holik v'gadol tov. Keep seeing that contrast. But Shmuel was getting greater and greater in Hashem. The guy who Hashem, and everyone loved him. Everyone loved him. Yavul Yisrael lukim al Eli. It says in Pesuk of Zion, the man of God came to Eli. This is Elkanah. By your love. So says God. I appeared to your father's house when they were in Egypt. Okay, so this is it. It's possible that Eli no longer had Nevuah because of this situation. I chose him from all the Shvatim. Lila going to be a Kohen for me. To bring the Ketores in front of me. And I give to the house of your father. Right, I gave to the house of your father all the fire offerings of an Israel. Why are you kicking my zevach u'b'minchasi and my gift that I have commanded to bring, or tzivisi ma'on, to bring to the Beis HaMikdash? You are honoring your children more than you're honoring me, by feeding yourselves of the best of all the offerings by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. How are you allowing this to happen, Eli? He's being reproached for not allowing that muster to be done in the right way. How could you not have done so? L'chein, okay, so says God. I said that your house and your father's house will walk in front of me forever. Itamar's sons will be the reverend. Remember, the Kohen Gadol after Aaron was Elazar. After Elazar was Pinchas. When Pinchas did not do the right thing by Yiftach, it was taken away from Pinchas and given to Itamar's kids, which was Eli's family. I said I wanted them to go in front of me forever. For they honor me, whoever honors me, I will honor. Those who make fun of me, I will dishonor them. It's now taken away. Evyasser was the last of Itamar that were Kohanim Gedolim, was then given over to Tzadok, who was from the house of Elazar. Right? I'm sorry, from Itamar was Evyasser, which was Eli's family. It was given over to Tzadok in the times of David and Melech. From then on, Elazar's family had all the Kohanim Gedolim. One more pasuk, guys, I don't know if we'll be able to finish, but Hinei, Yom Bind. There are days that are coming. I will kill all of you. You will not be an old man in your house. We'll stop with this for right now. Start right here.